The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latchoff from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and I'll be listing the source on each. Let's start with one from Redbook. Negotiate your way to a better relationship. If you're like most married couples, you'll probably have fallen into a pattern of who does which household task. One of you does the laundry, the other shops for groceries. This almost always leaves at least one of you miserable. Hey, how'd I get stuck with the litter box? You could turn your decisions over to strangers, which is actually not as crazy as it sounds. Classic evidence shows that compared with dating couples, people who just met negotiate deals that are better for both sides. People in love are more likely to rush into a compromise that leaves nobody with what they want. Strangers take the time to learn more about each other's interests and work together to create mutually beneficial agreements. As a married couple, we think it's a shame that so many negotiations turn out poorly. So what if we told you that you could negotiate better with the person you love instead of grabbing strangers off the street to choose who should shop for milk? One of us happens to be a negotiation professor, and the other has to negotiate with him. So we've spent the past 13 years trying to figure out if it's possible to negotiate with your beloved without ruining your marriage. And it is, if you have some tricks up your sleeve and know when to use them. Like, if you think your partner has terrible taste, you want to make sure you win. Maybe you're picking out the couch, the location for your next vacation, or if you're us, a baby name. Allison, I've always loved Gertrude. Adam, that was ancient in 1842. Allison, Gertie is cute. Gertrude can be the formal name. Adam, gross. Allison, okay, how about Natalie? Adam, now you're talking. Allison knew Adam would never agree to Gertrude. She was using it as an anchor. Anchoring is when you make a first offer that sets the tone on your terms. If you were selling your house, studies suggest that listing it, say, $1,000 higher will land you about $500 more in the final sale. People are often afraid of anchoring too high, but it gives you more flexibility to make concessions while still tilting the outcome in your favor. Allison knew Adam hated antique names, but wanted to make sure his awful taste didn't stand in the way of some classics. Even if Adam didn't love the name Natalie, it sure would look good next to Gertie. Of course, anchoring works only if the first offer is within reason. If Allison had opened with a name like Hepzibah or Philadelphia, we would have been too far apart to even begin a discussion. Adam would have walked away seriously questioning her sanity, not to mention what century she thought she was living in. Allison says Gertie will make a comeback. You heard it here first. But most negotiations aren't win-lose. Sometimes the stakes are so low that couples end up negotiating just to get out of making a decision. For us, that's dinner. About once a week, we feed the kids early and order grown-up food. The problem is that neither of us wants to pick the restaurant. We finally realized there was an easy solution, what social scientists call the ultimatum game. It's the grown-up version of telling your kids, you can cut the cake, but your brother gets to choose his slice. One of us generates the restaurant options, and the other picks. Then, the next time we order, we switch roles. With movies, Adam knows that if he proposes the 5th, 6th, and 7th installments of the X-Men series when it's Allison's turn, he'll be forced to watch a Wes Anderson movie. We both have an incentive to suggest choices that won't make the other miserable. This logic applies to basically everything you do together. Going on vacation? One of you gets to pick the destination, the other plans the activities. Remodeling the kitchen? One chooses the style, the other the appliances. Starting your own island nation in the middle of the Pacific? One designs your coat of arms, the other decides on your national bird. This is tougher when you have opposite preferences. You want to live in the country, he wants the big city. You want 4 kids, he wants 2, or none at all. It happens with small stuff, too. You go to bed early, she stays up late. You both hate to cook, but would prefer not to starve. Splitting the difference doesn't cut it. You end up living on a potato farm in Tulsa with 3 kids who eat every meal at McDonald's. No one's happy. Adam is a former diver, and when we bought our house, he desperately wanted a pool. Allison didn't. She's not a swimmer and was worried about safety with the kids. We both felt strongly and we were struggling to find a solution. If we'd tried to deal with this issue on its own, the best we could have done was compromise, and that's what usually leaves both parties dissatisfied or one in a bad spot. Similarly, it's a mistake to take turns making choices, like if you divvy up tasks of having one of you sign up to walk the dog, the other claim cooking dinner, going back and forth until everything's covered. It's much more effective to propose a bundle. I'll walk the dog and change the light bulbs if you catch spiders and cook dinners. There are times you might need a next-level negotiation technique, though, as we did with our pool situation. We suggested linking separate issues together. Figure out what else is important to your partner. Bring in a second negotiation where you have opposite preferences and let each person win on the issue that matters more. So if your partner really hates spiders, you could volunteer for that job in exchange for never, ever having to call the cable company. For us, that meant Adam would get a pool if Allison got the rights to name our firstborn son. Allison cared more about giving our son a distinguished name than having a pool-free home. And Adam cared more about giving our son a place to swim than protecting him from a childhood of name-calling. We submitted our conditions, extra safety measures for the pool, no names that peaked in the 19th century, and the rest is history. Adam has been swimming laps for 8 years in a fenced-in pool with an alarm and a safety cover. And in 2013, we welcomed a beautiful baby boy, not named Ulysses Sweet Grant. From Real Simple, how to care for your sweaters. Always hand wash natural fibers, such as cashmere and other woolens. Add a detergent meant for woolens, like wool and cashmere shampoo. $19 for 16 ounces at thelaundress.com. So add that to a basin of tepid water. Gently swish the garment around using your fingertips, then let it soak for up to 30 minutes before rinsing. Don't wring to dry. Press out the water by rolling up the sweater in a towel, like a sleeping bag, and lay it out to dry on a flat surface. Stack with like colors to prevent pilling transfer. Wash every 2 to 5 wears. And from Real Simple, the vets will see you now. Answers to your hairiest pet questions. First, we're considering getting a guinea pig. Is there anything we should be aware of before welcoming one into our family? Guinea pigs are docile and highly trainable, and they rarely bite, so they make great pets for kids. However, they require more upkeep than you might anticipate based on their small size, says animal trainer Amanda Collin. Guinea pigs demand a fibrous diet to keep their constantly growing teeth ground down. While their base food is hay, Collin also recommends willow branch chews to help with teeth maintenance. Your pet's enclosure should be cleaned weekly and his nails trimmed monthly. If he gets sick, your guinea pig will likely require treatment from a specialized vet, which could be expensive. But with proper maintenance and care, a guinea pig is likely to make a fun addition to your family. Next, we're planning a road trip and want to bring our cat, but she hates the car. What can we do to keep her comfortable? She might literally be sick of the car. Often when a pet seems anxious, it's because she's nauseous, says veterinarian Gail Okonski. Ask your vet for an anti-nausea medication or, for truly skittish cats, sedatives. Another option, spraying your cat's crate with calming Siva Fellaway pheromone travel spray, available for $17 on Amazon.com. It's also possible that she's afraid of her pet carrier. Veterinary behaviorist Lisa Radosta suggests easing your cat into car rides well ahead of travel by placing the carrier in the house and feeding her a treat just outside of it. Move the treat closer to the crate each time until she finds her way inside. Eventually, start closing the door behind her as she eats the treat and taking her for short car rides. It could take weeks, even months, said Radosta, but ultimately she'll realize something bad won't happen every time she gets in the car. And last, I've heard that a cold, wet nose is a sign of good health in dogs. Is that true? If so, does that mean a warm or dry nose is an indication that something is amiss? This is an old wives' tale, says veterinarian Mary Gardner. The moisture and temperature of a dog's nose don't provide any indication of health. In fact, says Okonski, they change throughout the day depending on the temperature of her environment and level of activity. When playing, for instance, pups are more likely to salivate and leave their nose damp. The one change to note is if a dog's snout gets so dry, you see cracks, as it could be a sign of dermatological issues, zinc deficiency, or lupus. If a week of rubbing Vaseline on the area doesn't help, check in with your vet, suggests Gardner. Otherwise, says Okonski, if it's a normal-looking nose, it can be wet, dry, cold, or warm. It's all okay. From Real Simple, organize this. This is sharing their insider tips on how to sort through laundry room chaos. First, keep it natural. Wherever possible, avoid plastic. Woven or cloth baskets allow air to flow through, preventing moisture and odors from becoming trapped. Place one basket per family member or bedroom in the laundry room to transport clean clothes come laundry day. Control overflow. Store laundry soap and stain removers on a tray or jelly roll pan to contain drips and spills. Next, air dry. Take advantage of unused overhead space with a drying rack, either a hanging rod or a rack on a pulley. Wall-mounted retractable clothesline works well in smaller laundry rooms. Create a catch-all. Keep a jar near the dryer to collect small items left in pockets or buttons that come loose during cleaning. And last, hang it up. Install a peg rail to stash useful tools such as scissors, a clothes brush, rags, and a stepladder within easy reach. From Red Book, what doctors tell their friends about fads. Miracle drinks, kale, everything. Some health trends really can help you, but which? Top doctors sort out fact from fiction. First, be a little skeptical. There's an unbelievable array of contradictory information out there, especially when it comes to nutrition. Opinions often masquerade as facts. The web has become a sort of echo chamber where you can find 7,000 references to theories that have never had any solid science behind them. Suddenly, people are convinced they have to give up gluten or fruit or beans, any number of things, when there's no evidence that it would benefit them. Every single day, I have to remind patients and friends who ask me about things they've heard or read to consider the source, even if it's a doctor or health practitioner, because if that person is also trying to sell you something, like pricey supplements, that's a conflict of interest. And while many experts have only the best intentions, you have to consider how that aspect of their business can impact the information you're given. That was by David Katz, director of the Yale University Prevention Research Center at Griffin Hospital and founder of True Health Initiative. Next, be open-minded, though. After trying many things to get rid of her headaches to no avail, one of my friends asked if it made sense to cut out gluten. I told her it was worth a try. Lots of people seem to think they should go gluten-free when they don't need to, but gluten does seem to be a factor in conditions other than celiac disease, including headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, and Hashimoto's disease, an autoimmune condition involving the thyroid. After a few months, my friend found that the frequency of her headaches decreased while she was gluten-free and increased when she began eating it again. Another friend who had never really gotten her IBS under control went gluten-free and greatly improved. So talk to your doctor. And that was Elizabeth Bradley, medical director for Cleveland Clinic's Center for Functional Medicine. Next, don't drink this. I've been asked so many times about bulletproof coffee loaded with butter and coconut oil. People claim that a cup in the morning keeps them from feeling tired and hungry, and I'm sure it does, but that's largely because that one cup contains as many calories as a meal. It's also packed with unhealthy saturated fats, which means you might actually gain weight drinking it. Some argue that the medium-chain triglycerides in coconut oil won't cause you to pack on pounds, but that's not proven. So I encourage friends to eat a real breakfast instead. Oatmeal, yogurt, and berries, or whole grain toast with nut butter will keep you satisfied until lunch. And that was Lisa Young, adjunct professor of nutrition at New York University, practicing nutritionist in New York City, and author of The Portion Teller Plan. Opinions often masquerade as facts. Consider the source. So next, careful down there. I've gotten my share of questions about jade eggs since they caused a stir online. The idea is to hold one of these eggs in your vagina to strengthen the pelvic floor. A close friend divulged over coffee one day that she was going to try it, hoping it would help with her incontinence. I told her not to do it. Jade is a porous material, which means it can harbor bacteria. Worst case scenario, it could lead to serious illness, like toxic shock syndrome. I encouraged my friend to find a physical therapist who specialized in the pelvic floor instead. A therapist can help you learn to do Kegels more effectively, and she can also use medical-grade devices to retrain your muscles, ease pelvic pain, and more. Medical-grade means safe. Please don't put anything that's not up there. That was Lena Nathan, Assistant Clinical Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology at UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine and OBGYN at UCLA Health. Next, watch out for too much of a good thing. I spotted an old friend at work one day and immediately thought, she's orange. Does she know? I wondered if she'd been self-tanning, but as a doctor, I decided to ask if she had noticed a difference in her skin tone. Turned out she had, and she assumed it was something horrible like pancreatic cancer. I asked if she'd been eating a lot of carrots. She hadn't, but she had been eating kale by the bowlful. I explained that kale, like carrots, contains a ton of beta-carotene, which can leave you looking orange. It took months of cutting back on kale, but over time, her color returned to normal. There's a moral to the story. When it comes to food and exercise, steer clear of the extreme. Don't do too much of anything, and you'll be fine. This by Dara Kass, Clinical Associate Professor in the Ronald O. Perelman Department of Emergency Medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center in New York City. Here's an amazing invention. A workout buddy recently asked what I thought of the new period panties, super absorbent lingerie designed to allow women to skip tampons and pads. She had experienced some light bladder leakage after the delivery of her second child, and she hated wearing a panty liner. I explained that while the idea of bleeding or leaking in your underwear can seem gross at first, these panties are usually made of multi-layer fabric that actually wicks away moisture. They won't increase your risk of infection, and depending on your flow, you can wear them all day if you want. My friend decided to give them a try, and now she wears them for all or much of her period as well. This by Pamela Peake, Assistant Professor of Medicine at the University of Maryland, Fellow of the American College of Sports Medicine, and author of Body for Life for Women. And last, this trend goes back centuries. Once, while we were walking through Chinatown, a friend asked me about the long, loofah-like brushes hanging in many of the stores. Dry brushing is popular in Chinese culture, and it's become more popular in American skincare, too. Essentially, you rub a stiff, bristled brush over your skin in a circular motion in the direction of your heart, which increases circulation. I love that it causes skin to glow and decreases the appearance of cellulite, but that's temporary, and I hesitate to suggest it to patients with sensitive skin. Still, the benefits are real, and it's easy to do at home, inexpensively, if you can find the time for it every day. That's the tricky part. And that was Rachel Nazarian, Assistant Clinical Professor of Dermatology at the Icahn School of Medicine, Mount Sinai, New York City. Here's four yummy ways to eat more oats. This is from Good Housekeeping. They provide fiber, vitamins, and mineral, and go from pantry to plate in just a minute or so. A diet rich in whole grains and other plant foods and low in saturated fat has been linked to a reduced risk of certain diseases. So check out these totally tasty ways to add oats to your everyday. First, 8 a.m., there's Make Ahead Mucili. Before bed, combine about a half cup oats with 1 cup skim milk in a mason jar. Add 2 tablespoons nuts or seeds and as much fruit as you'd like. Cover and pop the jar into the fridge to, quote, cook overnight. The result is a creamy, sweet, crunchy breakfast with fiber and protein that you can make to go. Then there's the 1 p.m. savory grain bowl. Swap in oats for other grains in your usual lunch, and you'll benefit from a delicious midday meal. Combine cooked oats with leftover veggies like spinach, broccoli, and peppers. Then reheat. Top with a poached egg and sliced avocado and season with chili flakes for a hit of heat. There's the 4 p.m. fruit and nut snack. When your energy lags, try this oat-based nosh for a satisfying pick-me-up. Mix a third of a cup cooked oats with 1 tablespoon nut butter and a chopped apple. Season to taste with spices like ground cinnamon, ginger, and nutmeg. Ta-da! A good-for-you treat that tastes just like dessert. Then there's the 7 p.m. veggie risotto. Substitute oats for rice in your favorite risotto recipe. Combine veggies that provide antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals, low or no sodium stock or broth, and oats in place of rice to help boost flavor and increase fullness without the need for lots of heavy ingredients. And here from A Green Winter, hearty, healthy dishes using in-season produce. We'll see how many of these we can get through. This is from Real Simple. First, shrimp, escarole, and fennel salad with olive herb dressing. Active time is 25 minutes. Total time, also 25. Serves 4. 6 tablespoons extra virgin olive oil divided. 1 pound large shrimp peeled and deveined. 1 teaspoon kosher salt divided. 1/2 teaspoon black pepper divided. 2 tablespoons champagne vinegar or white vinegar. 1 small shallot finely chopped. 1/4 cup pitted Castelvetrano olives, coarsely chopped. Castelvetrano, maybe. 2 tablespoons chopped fresh chives. 1 teaspoon Dijon mustard. 1 small head escarole, which is about 7 ounces. Large leaves torn, small leaves left whole. 1 head of endive, leaves separated. And 1 medium fennel bulb, shaved, about 1.5 cups, fronds reserved. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in a large skillet over medium-high. Add shrimp, 1/2 teaspoon of the salt and 1/4 teaspoon of the pepper. Cook shrimp, stirring occasionally until opaque and cooked through 2 to 3 minutes. Transfer to a medium bowl and set aside. Stir together the vinegar and shallot in a medium bowl. Let stand 10 minutes. Add olives, chives, mustard, and remaining 5 tablespoons oil. 1/2 teaspoon salt and 1/4 teaspoon pepper. Whisk to combine. Arrange the escarole, endive, shaved fennel, and shrimp on a large serving platter. Spoon dressing over the top and garnish with fennel fronds. And then there's steak and beet salad. Active time, 25 minutes. Total time, 1 hour. Serves 4. 3 medium beets, or about 1 pound. 1 pound hanger steak, trimmed. 1 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt divided, 3/4 teaspoon black pepper divided, 3.5 tablespoons olive oil divided, 1 small head radicchio torn, about 3 cups, 1.5 tablespoons red wine vinegar, 2 tablespoons honey, 2 teaspoons honey, 2 teaspoons fresh thyme leaves, 1 cup whole milk Greek yogurt, 2 tablespoons roasted and salted pepitas, or shelled pumpkin seeds. Preheat oven to 425. Place beets and 3 tablespoons water in a shallow baking dish. Cover tightly with foil and bake until beets are tender, 45 to 50 minutes. Uncover and let cool, then peel and cut into 1/2-inch wedges, set aside. Season the steak with 1 teaspoon salt and 3/8 teaspoon pepper. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in a large cast iron skillet over medium high. Cook the steak 4 minutes per side for medium rare. Transfer to a cutting board. Let rest 10 minutes before slicing. Combine beets, radicchio, vinegar, honey, thyme, 2 tablespoons oil, 1/2 teaspoon salt, and 1/4 teaspoon pepper in a large bowl. Toss to coat. Stir together yogurt and remaining 1/2 teaspoon oil, 1/4 teaspoon salt, and 1/8 teaspoon pepper. Spread yogurt mixture on a platter or each of 4 plates. Top with sliced steak, the beet mixture, and pepitas. How about 7-layer salad? Active time, 15 minutes. Total time, 15 as well. Serves 6. You need 1/2 cup sour cream, 1/4 cup whole buttermilk, 2 tablespoons fresh lime juice from 1 large lime, 2 tablespoons adobe sauce from canned chipotle peppers, 2.5 teaspoons kosher salt divided, 2 teaspoons ground cumin divided, 1 tablespoon canola oil, 1 small yellow onion, about 5 ounces, chopped to make about a cup, 1 pound 80% lean ground chuck, 1.5 teaspoons ancho chili powder, 1 15-ounce can pinto beans, drained and rinsed, 2 medium tomatoes, chopped, 1 romaine lettuce heart, chopped, 4 ounces cotija, cheese, crumbled, or about a cup, 1 large ripe avocado, sliced, and last, 1 cup tortilla strips or chips. Whisk together sour cream, buttermilk, lime juice, adobo sauce, and 1 teaspoon each salt and cumin. Set aside. Heat oil in a large skillet over medium-high. Add onion, beef, chili powder, and remaining 1.5 teaspoons salt and 1 teaspoon cumin. Cook, stirring to break the beef into pieces until browned, about 6 minutes. Add beans. Cook until heated through, about 3 minutes. Arrange the meat mixture, tomatoes, romaine, cheese, and avocados on a large platter. Drizzle with dressing and top with tortilla strips or chips. And last, crispy pork and bok choy larb. Active and total time, 25 minutes. Serves 4. 3 tablespoons fresh lime juice from 2 limes. 1 tablespoon fish sauce. 1 teaspoon light brown sugar. 1 tablespoon canola oil divided. 1/2 teaspoon crushed red pepper flakes, optional. 2 cloves garlic chopped. 1 red Fresno chili, thinly sliced, or about 1/4 cup, divided. 1 pound ground pork. 1.5 teaspoons kosher salt. 1/2 teaspoon black pepper. 6 heads baby bok choy, or about 10 ounces. 4 large carrots peeled and shaved lengthwise, about 2 cups. 2 scallions thinly sliced on the diagonal, about 1/3 cup. 1/3 cup packed fresh cilantro leaves and tender stems. And last, 1/4 cup roasted salted peanuts, coarsely chopped. Whisk together lime juice, fish sauce, brown sugar, 1 tablespoon of the oil, and pepper flakes, if desired, in a small bowl until sugar dissolves. Set aside. Heat remaining 2 tablespoons oil in a large skillet over medium-high. Add garlic and 1/2 the chili. Cook, stirring constantly until fragrant, about 10 seconds. Add pork, salt, and black pepper. Cook, stirring to break pork into large pieces and pressing down firmly to crisp until browned and starting to char, 8 to 10 minutes. Remove from heat. Stir in 2 tablespoons lime juice mixture. Thinly slice bok choy stalks on the diagonal, coarsely chop leaves. Combine bok choy slices and leaves, carrots, scallions, and cilantro in a large bowl. Add remaining lime juice mixture, toss to coat. Serve pork over bok choy mixture. Top with peanuts and remaining chili. And from Red Book, you can put a price on a good night's sleep, and it's roughly $260,000. In a British study, people whose sleep improved over 4 years were as happy and healthy as someone who'd won the lottery for about that much. It may be because the brain is better able to handle stress when you're well rested, says Daniel Barone, MD, author of Let's Talk About Sleep. So think of sleep as your most valuable investment and stop putting it off tonight. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Jean Latshaw, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast on our website, trianglereadingservice.org.